Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Good afternoon to you. I'm Joyce Littell. Thank you so much for joining me each and every Sunday afternoon about this time right here. We do a thing called Love and Relationships. That's where we talk all things relationships. And I hope that the information that you receive each and every Sunday is information that you can use to better your life and relationships and, you know, just be informed on some of the issues and some of the things that are going on within relationships on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And so that's what we try to do here. We try to bring it to the table. We try to bring it to the show and have conversations about it. Well, today we're going to talk about women's empowerment. Every year, my first lady, Alicia Cash of Global Leadership Christian Center, hosts a Red Dress Brunch Awards, Women Empowering Women. And so I ask her to come and bring some of the women that she's will be recognized. And she has 14 that she'll be recognizing. But today will be three in the studio to talk about empowering women. Because if we look at some news stories, if we look at some reality shows, if we look at some of the things that are presented, you know, they aren't always empowering, you know, to us as women. But there are also things that are going on, like the increase of women on the political rim who's carrying seats, not only locally, but statewide as well as nationally. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but it's still some things that are not. Like one of my colleagues yesterday, we were working together, and she told me of an incident this past Friday. And she said she had gone to a night spot, and she was standing in line to go into the night spot. And on her way in, the security guards, bouncers, whatever you call them, were carrying a young lady out. And the young lady had on a dress. And rather than carrying her out so it would not expose, you know, parts of her body, they carried her out, exposing parts of her body. And that was one bad thing. The other bad thing is for a young lady to even go out and want to get so intoxicated that you gotta be carried out. That's two. And then three, she was there celebrating the birthday of one of her friends. And none of the friends came out to see if she was doing okay. You see why we need some empowering? Because one, we need to encourage young ladies, you know, it's okay to go out and it's okay to have a drink or two, but to the point of passing out, you need to be empowered. You need to be told that's not cool. To the point of you are associating yourself with a group of young ladies who didn't think enough of you to even want to walk out to see if you was okay. They all need to be empowered. Because it's sad. It's sad that we go to those extremes just for enjoyment and entertainment. And it's sad that we don't care enough about each other's well-being, and we're claiming to be friends, or we're claiming to be partners, or whatever the case, and you didn't care enough about going out to see about her well-being. That's why we got to have these empowering shows. That's why I have to pat Alicia Cash on the back and say thank you for recognizing women who are out there doing what they need to do to live a successful and happy and productive life, but also offer encouraging words to young women who might be listening, or young women that we might pass on the job or out and about or in a store or at the church or at the club or wherever we might encounter a woman that we might be able to influence, to live a much happier life. So that's what this show is all about today, Women's Empowerment Talk. And we have some great guests that's going to come and talk about what does it actually mean? And what does it mean to them? What does it mean to you? If you are a woman, and I know quite a bit of you listen, but you hardly ever call, that's okay. We're going to keep doing the show because I know we're giving you information that you need. But I want to ask if you would just take a moment and just call me up right now, 404-892-2703, and tell me what empowerment means to you when it comes to being a woman. What does that actually mean? I mean, when you've gained some success in your life, or you've gone through things in your life, are you willing to share information, teach, reach back, do? Because a lot of times we don't. We hold it. We keep it. We don't want nobody else to have it because it took a challenge for you to get it. So, hey, I ain't giving it up for nobody else. Some of us are like that. Now, some of us are eager to share what we know, to empower the ones that are coming up behind us. Being in this business for 35 years, it is my responsibility to share as much knowledge and experience I know for every sister who walks in this door who wants to have a career as long as mine. And if I don't do that, I need to be cussed at. I'm serious. I need to be slapped. I need to be, you know, it's your responsibility. So my sisters, what does empowerment means and empowering a woman? What does that mean? What is your definition? Young, seasoned? What is it? 404-892-2703. When we return, we're going to introduce the guest who's here to talk about empowerment. It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Like us on Facebook at Love and Relationships Show. Leave us your questions and comments. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Now back to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Loving Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Good afternoon again. I'm Joyce Littell. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope that you've had a wonderful weekend, but it's time now to talk women's empowerment. And we have a very, very, very great panel of women in studio today to talk about it. If you want to get in on the conversation, 404-892-2703, 404-892-2703. Well, the reason this show happens, look like it's going to be happening every year. Every year looks like it's going to be happening because my first lady, Alicia Cash, recognized that women need to be recognized. And she's taken upon on her shoulders to recognize women. As a matter of fact, I was part of the inaugural Red Dress Brunch Awards last year.
Yes, you were.
Thank you, ma'am, for making me buy a red dress.
And what you look fabulous in.
And then she posted, and I posted, can I wear my red dress again? So I had to go buy a new red dress. But welcome, Alicia Cash. How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How y'all doing?
Alicia, you know, I first want to ask you, why did you take on this responsibility?
Well, I realized that with working with women, I think it started back a couple of years ago when we were doing the women's empowerment workshops and we were moving from comfort to courageous. It was a time where women were trying to reinvent themselves, trying to figure out a vision for their lives, just trying to figure out where they fit in the workforce and just in the community, period. So we started doing the women's empowerment workshops back in 2008, believe it or not. And then we continued using those workshops to build women's confidence and to move out of their comfort zone to do something extraordinary. So building on top of that, we found it that women needed to be celebrated. They began to do some phenomenal things, and it was time to recognize those women and cheer for them in this season.
Well, you're recognizing 14 women on next Saturday. But you got three of them in studio today.
Yes.
I would like for you to introduce them and then they tell us about themselves. Go ahead.
Well, we have Pastor Wendolyn Stokes, who is the pastor of Deeper Life Christian Ministries, and she is receiving the Pioneer in Ministry Award this year. And so we are so excited to be honoring her. We also have Maxine Kane, who is the president and founder of STEM Atlanta, who is receiving the award for Innovation Leader of the Year. And then we also have Jayla Moody, who is the millennial in the room that's doing some amazing things in Atlanta, and she is receiving the Anidra S. Williams Millennial of the Year Award.
All right, ladies, tell us a little bit about yourselves, starting with Wendolyn.
Well, you know, you said pioneer. Does that mean I'm old?
No!
I feel like you do, Wendolyn, when they say a legend. I'm like,
right,
wait a minute.
Right.
Y'all gonna make me dye my hat.
It just means that you're making ways for others to follow behind you, and you have some big footsteps for us to feel.
Well, that must mean that I must be 50 plus. Okay. For me to even raise the issue. But I'm Wendolyn Stokes. I'm just elated to be invited to come and share again on this Women Empowerment and to be a recipient of the award. And I love people. I pastor a church, Deeper Life in Christ Ministries in Conyers, Georgia. And I also am an adjunct professor at Beulah Heights University teaching Growing Minds, who want to learn and engage in the Word of God. And so I just do a whole lot of stuff that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Maxine?
Yes. So thank you for having me, Joyce Littell and Alicia. I am Maxine Kane with STEM Atlanta Women. I'm the founder and president of STEM Atlanta Women, which is a nonprofit organization here for women and girls. And I'm also a co-founder of a tech startup called Inclusion, which is a human capital platform for freelance talent in Atlanta.
All right.
Hi, my name is Jayla Moody, and more than anything, I'm just happy to be in the room with so many amazing women. I'm a student. I'm a senior at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, and just throughout my time in the past few years, I've grown a passion for providing a platform for people. So just about everything I do, I just want the opportunity to be able to inspire and encourage the people around me. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm honored to receive this award.
So ladies, what does women's empowerment mean to you in your own way, in your own definition? Don't even think about Webster's or any of that. Don't even Google it. What does it mean to you, Jayla, being the youngest in the room? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means letting the women around me know that there's nothing that they cannot do. And I think in this day and age, the opportunities are endless. And I try to use stories of the people around me and my very own story and to share that in every opportunity I can to inspire people to know that their opportunities and the options for them are endless as well. So if I can just talk to one person or two people or share it with an entire community to let them know that if it's something that they want to do, they can do it. And if I can provide the resources, the inspiration, and the help to allow them to do that, then I'm more than willing to.
Maxine?
Yes, that was a brilliant response. Yeah. Brilliant. So for me, it really is knowing who you are as a person, knowing your purpose and passion in life, and knowing that you can do whatever it is that God has called you to do and be free to do it and to just walk in it with power and purpose. And again, you know, my platform is science, technology, engineering, and math, and I stand on a principle of Titus II, where the older women will minister to the younger women, and my platform to do that is STEM. And so I want young girls coming up behind us to understand that it is important for us who have walked this path and been successful to reach back and to help mentor and to develop the young women along the way. And they can do it, and representation is key.
Yeah.
Empowerment for me is about representation, so that if they see someone else doing it, then they feel like they can do it too.
Wonderful.
And, you know, it's about sharing and spreading and sharpening others. It's about, you know, sharing your experiences with others, encouraging others, building others up, spreading it to others, making sure that you touch and impact young women, older women, and even young men and men in mm-hmm. as well. And then sharpening one another, you know, because you want others to be better, do better, learn, grow, prosper. And that's what it's all about. Iron sharpens iron.
Pastor, Alicia, Cash.
Well, of course, empowerment. What I find is we are empowered by what we're exposed to. And so it was time for me to make sure that women are exposed to resources, they're exposed to other women by networking, and that we begin to kind of pull one another in and start walking together in a sisterly format. Sometimes it could be so competitive with working with different women. And so I wanted to bring some synergy around collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I realized that one way to do that was to make sure that women know that it's okay to say, hey, girl, you look good.
Yeah.
And hey, girl, you're doing your thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, girl, I recognize you, because everybody likes to feel value. Everyone likes compliments. Well, we have to get in a better format of complimenting one another, recognizing one another, and encouraging one another.
You know, one thing, I was in a conversation yesterday, and out of that conversation, it felt like we don't reach back. And Maxine just said, it's a responsibility of hers. It's a responsibility to reach back and do. But out of that conversation, some women still feel like it ain't going down like that. Don't say that, Maxine, the music playing. And I'm going to come back with this same thought. Why do you think if she could recognize 14 people on Saturday, and we've got 3-4 powerful women in here talking about it, why do we still feel like enough isn't still being done? 404-892-2703. We'll be back.
Follow us on Twitter at Love and Relations Show. That's Love Relation SHO. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380, WAOK. News and Talk 1380, WAOK. Now back to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
This is special right now. In 4 minutes or less, you. We're going to crown all of them right now.
This is dedicated.
My mama, your mama.
You.
Your baby's mama's mama's mama.
This is dedicated to you.
Wife,
you.
If you need a woman right now, wherever you at, just turn to him and say,
this is dedicated to you.
You are appreciated.
This is dedicated to
I
you.
I appreciate
it. It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Thank you so much for joining me and all of my beautiful guests here this evening or this afternoon. Women's Empowerment Talk, Alicia Cash, Jayla Moody, Wanda Lynn Stokes, and Maxine Kane. They are in studio. And I went into my break asking this question because, Maxine, you brought it up about how we have to reach back, teach, mentor. But, you know, in a conversation I was in yesterday, and I've heard it many of other times, it's like we don't do that. It's still out there that people feel like we don't reach back. We don't teach. We don't want to see others succeed. Why you shook your head and you was ready to dive in before I had to take the break?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because obviously I work with a lot of professional women and my background is human resources by trade. So I've been in the HR arena for many, many years helping senior leaders or middle managers get to the C-suite. And it's important for them to reach back to others. But what we hear often, once you have arrived, so to speak, a lot of women feel as if they've worked very hard to get to where they needed to be. And they've had to endure quite a bit to get there. And so when they're there, they are feeling like we're tired, number one, and we don't really want to spend the effort and energy to try to reach back to help someone else. And sometimes it's because they don't know how it's going to be looked upon to them as they're reaching back to others. You know, sometimes we have this thing about helping our own, and it's unfortunate, but we really are encouraging women, especially in my organization, women to really think about how hard it is that it was for us to come up through the ranks, right? And it's important for us to spend that time. And a lot of times we don't have the time or we don't make the time. A lot of times we feel as if we've done our time and we don't really want to go back and start all over, especially if you are an empty nester. So it's many a reasons, but at the end of the day, it's our responsibility. And representation is key for young women coming up behind us to see other women. And a lot of times we feel like we don't want to deal with the millennials. We don't want to deal with the Generation Xers. But they need us. They need to have that balance of wisdom and innovation and technology and really the example of what it's like to be a professional who is successful. They need to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't even want to show all that. Mm-hmm. We don't want to, you know, show that there are going to be some down times. There's going to be some valley periods. And here's how you work through it. And I think me having a young woman who's 20 and Kennesaw State University, you know, working with her and helping her to see that it's okay to have failures, but to fail fast and to get back up and know that that's behind you. Now let's figure out a new plan. And I know for a long time for me, I didn't want my daughter to see me fail. I didn't want her to see the bad and the ugly. But that's how they learn. And that's how they gain additional respect and courage to be able to know that they can do it too.
What has it been like for you, Jayla? I mean, you are a millennial. Mm-hmm. And you are going through life's experiences and challenges. What has it been like for you? Do you feel like you, outside of your mama, because mama here, so we know what she's going to do for you. But outside of mama, what has it been like for you? Do you feel like women have been supportive of you throughout your career?
Oh, absolutely.
And your life?
I think 100% everything that I've done and accomplished has been a result of someone investing in me. And even me just sitting at this table here, Ms. Cash, she worked at my high school. And so just watching her do work at Miller Grove High School, but also, you know, be a leader in the church and have all of these side businesses and still invest in young women around her has been completely inspirational for me. So her seeing something like this in me, being capable of doing something like Millennial of the Year, has just been inspiration within itself. So to have people invest in you and to see that you're capable of things before you even get to the point of accomplishing them has been 100% the reason I'm in the spaces I'm in.
But do you see other young women taking advantage of moments and relationships like you are, or do you see them shying away because they think that these women aren't interested?
It's a hit or miss. I think sometimes people my age, we try to run away from discipline or the women who are older than us and who have accomplished a little bit more than we've seen yet. We try to run away from being told what to do and what not to do or being told that this isn't necessarily the way. And I think if we can really get into the spaces where we can trust the people who've been there before and trust those mentors and trust that wisdom, we can really receive that inspiration and that motivation a little bit better. And I think spaces like this and organizations like this us, and most importantly, the church, is a really good way for us to step into those spaces and recognize that there are people around us who want to help us, who want to invest in us, and want us to see and do so much more.
Jayla brought up the church, Wonderland. How important is it, and how? What do you see? Do you see, you know, I mean, it's women ministries throughout yours and possibly many others. Do you see us more willing or not as willing to pull up?
I see a mixture in the church. I see on one side.
Give it to us.
I see one side. I see women who are coming together and strengthening one another. They're encouraging. They're taking young girls under their arms. They are mentoring them, imparting into them, taking the time, bringing them around the house, showing them how to cut chicken, how to cook greens, you know, how to dress, how to wear the appropriate undergarments, you know, just how to groom yourself, and even stressing the importance of education, you know, and being around other women, you know. And then I've seen the flip side in ministry and even in business, where there's a lack of teamwork. There's a lack of collaboration, women who are competitive against one another because of their insecurities, because of jealousies, because some women don't know how to reach out and don't know how to love on other women, don't know how to appreciate them and see them as being one who can help encourage, you know, and inspire them. And so sometimes you'll have what I call the hidden tensions, you know, among women. You know, sometimes women are offended by the fact that they have a man in their life and they don't see you with one, you know, and that can just even be the beginning, you know, of challenges among women. But it happens in the church, and I think it's something that we're working on. And so we have the positive and the negative side of it.
Because I was going to ask for the negative side of it, because when things are positive, you just pray that they continue in that reign.
Mm-hmm.
But on the negative side, as a leader in the church, as a woman of influence, then what do you do, or what can you do, or what will you do to help them understand we're all in this thing together?
You know, I teach it, I preach it, I model it. And I encourage women that we are basically stronger together than we are separate. We learn from each other. You know, the women in my life before me, my mom, grandparents, and just other women have encouraged me and inspired me along the way. So it's important that you teach it and say it to others so that they can repeat it. And then also stress the importance of community. You know, no man is an island. You know, we've got to realize that we need each other. And that's a part of life. You cannot make it in life by yourself. But women, we have a gift of nurturing. We have the gift of love. We have a gift of patience when we want it to be. And, you know, we have all of these things. And so we can help others to be better and do better. And so we have to come out of the narcissistic mindset and the self-centered mindset and think more community and village so that we can support one another.
I know. I mean, okay, pass the plate, pass the plate. I'll take it. I'll take it. All right, we got some folks on the line. Let's go to Tasha, who's calling out of Cobb County. Tasha. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Tasha.
Hi.
Hey.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to call and actually tell all the women, congratulations for supporting one another. Congratulations for your awards. Jayla, congratulations. I am actually your mother's friend, so I am calling because I'm listening in, and I think this conversation is very timely. We're right on the heels of Women's History Month, and there are some key things that I heard, which is mentorship, investing in the generations that are coming right behind us. I'm part of Generation X. I think it's very important that women have a support network to encourage each other to continue to go forward. And as far as trying to climb the proverbial corporate ladder, you need a support network inside the corporate arena as well as outside of the corporate arena that continue to champion you on to go far. So I'm going to quote something that was said today actually in church, and to go long or to go fast is to go long, or go long to go fast. And to go far, you go together. So I think you have to have women who are strong in numbers in order to support one another to climb that proverbial corporate ladder and any ladders outside of corporate arena.
Well, thank you, Tasha, for the call. And your mama got a good friend. Because I want to talk about that. A situation happened with a colleague of mine. And it was about, you know, friends and the responsibility of friends, because everything that we can do is an empowerment moment.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk about that when we return. And I just want to get your opinions on it. It's Women's Empowerment Talk on Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Like us on Facebook at Love and Relationships Show. Leave us your questions and comments. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Now back to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's the frequency. This is the day women took over. No longer over your shoulder do we have to look over. Imagine war is not over. Mothers get medals for being courageous soldiers or dollars. It's Michelle Obama, Oprah, and Rosa.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Women's Empowerment Talk. My guests, Alicia Cash, Jayla Moody, Wanderlyn Stokes, and Maxine Kane. And we're just talking about how do we go about to continue to empower, because there were people that empowered them. And so I want to talk about the circle, you know, your circle of friends or your circle of people that keeps you encouraged. Who would you say your circle of friends or the people that keep you encouraged outside of mama and Pastor Cash, Jayla?
Right, I can't rule out my mama.
No, we know that. We already know mama in there.
Yes, ma'am. Definitely number one, my mom. And I always rely on my faith 100% as a stone of encouragement for myself. But I've built a relationship with a lot of people at my university, at my school currently. Just some girls that I know that I can rely on for inspiration, encouragement, or just someone to go to and talk to. I've had a lot of teachers and professors who have invested in me in the past, who have served as that kind of person in my life as well, who tell me what's right and who tell me what's wrong, but are also there to just listen. And I found that a lot of the times we don't necessarily need the advice, but we just need someone to listen and to pray for us. And for me, that has been extremely influential in my life as well. So just having someone in my circle who's willing to do it all, whether that's to listen or to say, go do it, Jayla, or to say, Jayla, you know, that's not what you should be doing. Just having different people to go to for those different things.
Maxine.
Oh, wow. You know, I've had a lot of encouragement and a lot of people to support. But definitely my faith. My mama, she's such a good lady. And she's one of those mamas that call you every day, like every day. And if I don't answer, did you not get my call? So mama, definitely. And my daughter is very encouraging, but then also my team. You know, it's always important to have a great team of professionals working with you, and building a team is one of the toughest things that I've had to do, is because it's all about getting the right team with the right skill set. And with the right passion and motivation to really be aligned to your mission. But then there's one lady that I always think about, and she's always interceding for me. She's always praying for me. I mean, no matter what, I don't have to call her often, but I always know that she is one of my biggest cheerleaders in the community. And she's always praying, and I can pick up the phone and call her, especially when I need something, because I always feel like as leaders, we don't always have people that we can go to, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like pastors need pastors. So she's one of those leaders for me that when I am going through a tough time as a leader of an organization or a business owner, I want to be able to pick up the phone and call her. And she is amazing. And her name is Audra. So Audra, if you're listening, she's amazing. And I tell you, I can't do what I do without my faith, but also the prayers of others who are out there really advocating and supporting you. It's so important.
Wanderlyn.
You know, for me, I certainly have in my circle, because I believe in the circle.
Yeah.
I have intercessors who are certainly praying for me and praying me through. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about intercession is that they can see prophetically, you know, what God is about to do or what God is going to do. And they pray you to make sure that you come in alignment with what God has ordered divinely for your life. So God may have this for me way over here, but I may not have the confidence for it, or I may not know the path to take, but proper intercession will make sure that I go down that right path. I also have older women who I look up to. They're like role models in my life. They're seasoned women, you know, and I listen to the wisdom. I listen to their instructions. And then I have what I call sister girls that are like my girlfriends. And they're just ones that I can just be myself with. And I don't, you know, I can just laugh, have fun, you know, chill back. You know, have on makeup, not have on makeup, just let my hair down, or even if my hair falls out, you know, just just enjoy, you know, just girlfriends, you know, and then people in that professional space that are always challenging me, you know, with various things, you know, to do better, to make improvements here, to look at this, to have that critical edge, do critical thinking and inductive and deductive reasoning. So, and then I have those, Joyce, who hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll hold me accountable to everything. So I don't expect compliments from them. They're always getting on me about, you know, what you can do better. You know, whether it's smile better, be on time, watch what you eat, make sure you read a book a week. You know, just holding me accountable. And that circle really helps me to be better.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Cash.
Well, you know, I have to... Her circles sound like the circle I have. For a while, I longed to make sure that I had that type of circle. I know what it's like. I've been those things to people. And so there was a time where I didn't have that. I didn't feel like I had that type of circle of people that would push me. I recall I know that I could not have made it through college without my roommates, because God paired me with some wonderful women to push me and not let me give up. Because there was many times when I was in undergrad, I said, I'm just going to quit. Matter of fact, I think I called home and told my daddy, I said, I'm just going to come home and do hair, because I was good at doing hair on campus. And I was like, I just can't do that. And so my college roommates at the time, they would not let me quit. So I always tell them, I would not have made it without you guys. But then after that, you know, some 20 years later, making sure that I still had that type of circle of friends or people that could hold me accountable, because I'm a passion pusher. I needed to have a passion pusher in my life. Mm-hmm. And so God has now placed some wonderful women in my life. I got my sister girls, you know, I have my people that intercede as well on behalf of me. I have my team. And then I also have a women of people that hold me accountable. They know the dreams and the goals and they know the things that God wants to see done through me. Mm-hmm. And so they don't let me quit, you know. And so that's why I'm here today with you guys, because I have people continuously pushing me in my back, not letting me quit.
Have you ever had to let one or two go?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Ooh, wee.
Oh, yes. God,
why and how?
Just to let them go. You know, you don't have to make an announcement about it. You
right.
just let it go. You free yourself. Because sometimes at certain stages in your life, it's not for certain people to be in that. And then when people bring negative energy to you, you don't need that if you're trying to move forward. Negative energy does nothing but hinder you and hold you backwards. So you just got to let them go. You got to just keep moving. Don't make an announcement. Don't send them a letter. Just let them go and soar,
yes.
you know, because sometimes there are people that you want to take with you,
mm-hmm.
but they're not designed to be in that place with you
all right
at that
then.
Time, you know. So you're just taking, you know, you're carrying on baggage that really should have been checked, you know, at the gate. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to take on baggage of friendships, because the wrong friendships and unhealthy friendships can be damaging. mm-hmm. especially to a woman, the way a woman is wired. Mm-hmm. And so it can be damaging because we can transfer that into other relationships. So, you know, it's like one, two, three, go, yes. you know, and yes. don't think about it
right.
and move forward,
yes, that's right.
you know, and find other placeholders for your circle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. But have any of them ever that's come good. Back and you've had to explain? I see your eyes, but we gonna have you talking in a minute.
Uh-oh.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK 404-892-2703, 404-892-2703. We're empowering people
yeah.
because I'm sure it's somebody out there need to drop one right now.
Right now.
You
drop,
need to
right.
go.
Drop.
But they don't drop. Know how to do it. Well, today,
right. yes.
you will find out from Alicia, Wanderlyn, Jayla, and Maxine gonna tell you.
That's right.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Follow us on Twitter at Love and Relations Show. That's Love Relation SHO. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Women's Empowerment Talk. It's going down in here today. And we thank you so much for listening. If you have questions or comments, 404-892-2703. We were talking about people that you've had to remove from your life and in your circle. And Wanderlyn spoke about, you know, her situations. And Maxine, you threw your Baptist finger up and you were like, yes, girl, yes. But, you know, but those people that you knew right off the bat, you had to, like, I got to get these people out of my life. They are not making my life and situation a good thing. But yet I have seen over in my life and career that some have actually tried to work themselves back in. So let's go back and talk about, have you had to remove some folks, and if you've had, have any of them understood why and have wanted to come and have a chat or talk?
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
You got to get on the microphone, Maxine. All right. There
so,
you go.
Yes, I've had that happen. I've had a couple of experiences in my lifetime, and I have not directly removed them. So I typically will allow circumstances to kind of work itself out. And I'm always very gracious, and I take the feedback, and I give feedback with love. And sometimes I'll share. One of the things I always say to people is I need to give you some feedback, and I know that some of the things that I'm about to say to you may be hard to hear, but I want to just speak the truth to you in love and keep people whole and complete when I give feedback to them. And I try to do that as skillfully as I can. Because, again, you know, Atlanta's small, and I also know that it's important to respect folks, even when they are really not having your best interest at heart and they are just doing some stuff that you're like, what in the world? But, again, I try to understand that sometimes it's not necessarily about them. You know, it's just a tree that they're sitting in and the tree that they're experiencing, and I try not to take it personal. And so a lot of times – I just kind of, like you mentioned earlier, you don't have to make an announcement. You just kind of subtly just minimize your conversations, minimize your interaction with those individuals. You don't have to respond to emails and phone calls. You can just kind of subtly kind of let the things die out. And I think that people typically get the message, but I do give them immediate feedback when something is really happening, and then I kind of wash my hands with it subtly. But then I've had people to try to come back. You know, the more they see you be successful, or if they see that you're on a track or you're connected to people that they want to be connected to, then they try to come back and say, hey, you know, I want to follow up with you. You know, I want to share something with you, or I have something you may be interested in, or what have you. And so you just have to know it for what it is. And be gracious and kind and just keep it moving. And so I don't usually let those people come back in because, you know, once they show you who they are, right, mm-hmm. the first time, you got to believe them and you just keep it moving. So I try to keep people whole and complete, but I know in my mind and spirit that they're not for me. And you have to know how to graciously get them out.
Jayla, have you experienced some of that, such a young age?
Yeah, just a little bit. And actually, at the end of 2018, I kind of developed this mantra for myself. So the people listening may not be able to see, but my shirt says choose joy. And for me, that just means so much when it comes to do with the relationships we have, the people we let come in and out of our lives, the situations that we allow to control our happiness. And so for me, I've gone into 2019 and throughout the rest of my days just recognizing that I have to choose my own joy and I have to protect my peace. And so if that means, you know, having a barrier up for certain people and for certain things coming in and out of my life, then that's what it is for me. And when I have that in the back of my mind or in the front of my mind, I know that that is a priority for myself. So if you're not directly contributing to my joy, then I just can't have you in that space.
Self-love.
But being pastors and being
beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Being pastors for you, Alicia, as well as Wandalyn, how difficult is it then when you have recognized that these people are not good for you, but yet you are still in a position in which you have to, you know, pray or you have to, you know, I guess support in some kind of spiritual way?
Well, I love what Jayla just said about your peace, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in my role, I love people, you know, and because that's what I'm required to do, you know. Mm-hmm. But in my inner circle, you know, because we were talking, these are women or people that we have in our circles. There's a certain parameter or there's a certain requirement to be in the inner working of the circle. You know, so if you're going to be in the inner working of the circle, that's just certain things that are required. And if you don't have that requirement, you're on the outside of the circle.
Right.
And then I can love you on the outside of the circle.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Simple. Simple as that.
It's
Let me tell you about a situation. One of my colleagues told me Saturday morning, as a matter of fact, and we're talking about circles and circles of friends. And it was a sad situation because, first of all, there was a young lady who were at a night spot and she actually had too much to drink. And she was there in celebration of a friend. And the she had to be escorted, lifted out of the night spot. She had on a dress and the bouncers, the security guards that lifted her out were exposing her to people.
Mm.
And so the young lady who told me the story, she actually got out of a line to say, you all are exposing this woman, cover her up, so forth and so on. But the thing that outside of she just, you know, doing that period, you know, at a place and you drinking so much that you pass out, that's a bad thing from the beginning. But the second bad thing was she was there in celebration of her friend's birthday. And none of the friends actually cared enough about her to come out and see about her well-being. Mm-hmm. With them people, I know you wouldn't be doing no drinking and falling out. But just think about mm-hmm. if you're with someone and they don't think enough of you and your well-being, would they be your friend?
Mm-mm, that's a negative. You
absolutely.
Know, and that's one of the things that, you know, I talk to my daughter about, period. You know, being very careful about what we define friends are, mm-hmm. we're friends, and how we define acquaintances and how we put them in certain baskets,
right.
You know. And then I don't even think you are considered an acquaintance if I can't go out with you and have a good time and then you have my back, you know. So you have to question, you know, how we do in church, check your role. You got to check your friend role to see who it is that you're allowing yourself to be, you know, you go out to entertain and have good times with, because if you go out like the young lady did and they didn't have your back, you know, you're young, you know, how y'all party, you go out to college, or, you know, and if my friend didn't have my back when I went out to school, then you're not my friend,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But first of all, I think the friend should have seen even inside the club where she was doing too much,
right?
And as a friend,
yes,
as a person in your circle,
right,
then you should have stopped it then.
Yes exactly, because it escalated,
you
know, over a period of time. So somebody in that circle should have recognized it and got another sister and say, listen, hey, let chill out, you know.
Right.
But because you're not watching, because you're not being the friend that you're supposed to do, then she ended up being exposed and in situations like that.
What do you think they missed? You know, I mean, what did they miss in not understanding that you have a responsibility? If we're out in a group, whether we're out at a club or wherever, if we're in a group, then whatever happens while we're in that group, we all are responsible for each other. What are people missing?
They're missing the sacrifice, you know, because she had to make enough noise for the bouncers, you know, to have to come in and get her out. So when you're not willing to sacrifice your good time and moment that you're having to go and see about
but
the
that's
sister.
But that's period. I mean, because in life, in whatever the situation is,
exactly.
If you lose, like for instance, when the shutdown was, one of my best friends live in D.C., and she works for the forestry department, which was part of the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I did was, girl, you good?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You good? And if you're not, don't be sitting up here trying to think about it. You make the call because we got you. It isn't enough of that happening.
It's not enough.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we return.
Problem.
It's
that's
not enough. It's we'll not talk enough. About it. 404-892-2703. When we return, it's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Like us on Facebook at Love and Relationship Show. Leave us your questions and comments. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Now back to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We were talking about cutting them loose. And the thing is, if you're out with your friends, no matter what the situation is, no matter what it is, if you're with your friends, then you would think that your friends have your back, no matter what. And then when they don't, you need to... She should, when she came to, she should have dropped all of them. Like today, none of them should have been her friends. You think?
I agree. I definitely agree. And me and Maxine were just talking about how sometimes we're afraid that we're overstepping a boundary with friends, or we have a blurred vision of what friends really are.
Yeah.
But to be a friend, you have to be willing to check and to be checked. And even if you feel like your friend will be mad at you the next day, or she'll be disappointed in what you may have done or ruined some kind of fun for her, you have to understand that I'm looking out for you and my intentions are just to make sure that you're okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm with that. And if they don't show that, we're done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, I would. Jalen was saying, she and I were talking, I have a 20-year-old, and I think it also depends on the generations, because, you know, me and my girls, we may go out and, you know, I'm comfortable enough and confident enough to talk to her and tell her what needs to be done. But the younger generation, they are like, hey, that's not my business. You know, that's on them. And but I also believe that it's important for them to have those conversations in advance. Like, for example, my daughter is planning to go on a trip with some friends to Miami in the summer, and it's a group of them. And I'm like, okay, well, here are some things that you guys need to talk about. You need to make sure you stick together, make sure you guys understand where you're going to stay, kind of what are the rules of the road of the trip, you know, if you're going to go to concerts or whatever, you know, kind of establish a set of rules before you get there so that everybody knows that no matter what, we're going to have each other's back, we're going to be down for each other, we're going to ride with each other, we're going to constantly support each other. But I think right now, as Jalen was saying, that a lot of them just feel like, hey, that's her, it's not my business, mm-hmm. I'm not going to cross over, I'm not going to, you know, try to tell her what to do, she's grown, she has to deal with that. And to her point, You know, you got to be willing to be checked. You have to be willing to check and to be checked. And I think sometimes that's a very fine line. Those lines get very blurred for young people. But I think for...
And adults, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we can't outrule us. I mean, as adults,
ooh,
we...
Grown people.
Grown folk.
Ooh, Jesus.
Who aren't willing, like Wandalyn said, make the sacrifice.
Right.
What
right.
am I going to sacrifice if I do this? What am I going to lose if I do this? You're going to lose me for one thing.
That's
what I'm saying. You're going to lose me if I don't feel like no matter what that I can trust you to look out for me. And that's empowering in itself.
Yes.
It's empowering in itself if you don't have that kind of confidence in the people in which you are with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it goes back to women not being so supportive of is because of what we think we might lose, what we know we have to sacrifice. You know, all of those things will play a part. You know, I might teach you and you might come take my job. Well, if it was meant for you to keep, you'll keep it.
Yes.
If
yes.
It bottom line,
yes.
I mean, any woman that comes into this business, it after 35 years, it's my responsibility.
Yes.
To tell and to teach them something.
Exactly.
And if I don't, then I should lose my job.
Absolutely.
I should.
But exactly. It's bigger than your job, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Your responsibility to be able to reach back, to mentor, to lead, to develop, to pour wisdom. It's bigger than a job.
Exactly.
We're talking about life-impacting situations.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about your influence. You know, you've been in this for over 30 something years and so many people that you've blessed. And so you're called to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we appreciate you for just reaching out to so many different age groups here today, you know, just touching people. That's what it's all about. You know, and I think the interesting thing about friendship is when you experience the test a friendship, you need to listen to it.
Yeah.
You need to watch it closely. Because sometimes people are in your life and then here comes the test of that friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that test reveals, that is the truth.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And then you're forced then to make a decision.
Make a decision.
And act upon that decision that you make.
Mm-hmm. Stand on it. Todd, you're on.
Yo, Joyce. Alicia, Wandalyn, Maxine is a real cool old school name.
Thank you.
That ain't the first time you heard that, I know. All right. I've got four questions for sure. Maybe a fifth one, depending on how this first one's answered.
Make them quick, Todd. Make them quick.
You know, if it goes too long, just cut me off.
The first one,
who was the one that said that she needed her sweet mates to really help her get through school?
Oh, that would be me.
Which one are you, Maxine?
Pastor E. Alicia.
Alicia.
Yes.
When do you remember, was it one particular incident that you first remember that triggered off you wanting to quit? Like, was it a class or was it a lack of involvement in extracurricular activities? What was it?
It was always class. I remember, first of all, I couldn't type a lick. And those papers would kill me, and I was just pecking. And I think all my roommates may have taken typing in class in high school. When I was in college, I couldn't type, and I was pecking and pecking, pecking, pecking. And I never forget, Anidra got up. She said, "Just get up. I typed the paper." Just because she the only one had a computer back in the day in her room. So, yes, if it wasn't for my college roommates, even biology, I had biology. Biology was a whole other language. It was totally different, and it was all of these words you had to remember. And I remember crying over that biology book, and so my roommate, who was a biology pre-med major, she stayed up with me and did note cards, and she studied with me. And we had, I don't know if they still have this in the library. You go down below the library to study all night, and it doesn't close. I forgot what it's called.
But library.
We would go down there to study.
That's what you used it for.
Hello.
So, I mean,
shout out to Talisha. That's who will help me stay afloat. Yes.
Just for clear. So you went to college and you didn't like going. You didn't like having to deal with class because you didn't like having to type. Was that pretty much it for you? And then you had to kind of learn to cultivate those skills?
I did. So the deal was Nidra would type my paper if I would take a typing class. So that next semester I did sign up for a typing class so I could type my own papers. Yes.
Did you learn I mean, did you involve yourself in extracurricular activities that were academic-based and other-based?
Of course.
Okay. Then here's the other question. And who was the one that said that they had to learn how to build their team and learn how to point out the skills, I mean, recognize the skill sets that would help build their team? Was that you too, Alicia?
No, that was Maxine.
That was Maxine. Have you ever found yourself as being the person that needed to improve on their skill set? And what's the first time you remember, the first time that happened, if it did, how do you remember handling it?
You know, that's a really good question because, yes, you know, I believe that learning is a continuum and that we're always learning and I always want to have people who are better than me around me so that I can challenge myself and always be learning continuously. So I also know my role as far as what my skills are and what I'm good at.
No, I'm asking, when was the first time you were in a situation that you remember, that you recognize, okay, I'm the one that has to improve on their skill set?
Gosh, I'm probably had so many experiences. I'm thinking the first time or that I can remember.
Can you pull one out? It doesn't have
I'm gonna give you one. You know, since I started my nonprofit organization, I've had to learn a lot of skills because I've been a corporate professional all my life, right? And when you start out, you know, in an entrepreneurial business, you really have to learn how to be all things. You have to be the CEO. You have to be the CMO, the marketing person. You have to raise money. You have to do all that. And raising money was not a skill that I had that, yes, you know, in the past. I was HR. And so learning how to raise money and to be a development person was very tough because I just was not comfortable with always asking for money. So I had to learn that. But I've also brought people on my team who are really good at it. So now I get to sit and watch and they teach me how to do it, and I'm getting better at it every day.
All right, we'll be back. 404-892-2703. It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Follow us on Twitter at Love and Relationship. That's Love Relation SHO. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Now back to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I had to take a break, Todd.
Okay, I didn't catch what you said before you went on break, so I didn't know if you were going to let me ask the last two. Okay,
yeah,
here are the last two. I don't remember who said this, but I don't recognize who said this. Which one said that negative energy does nothing but bring you down? Was that Wanderlyn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said it, yeah, negative energy will bring you down, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Uh-huh. I wanted to know, do you recognize... Have you ever recognized negative energy as being something to develop a skill set to convert negative energy into positive energy?
Yes, but you know it's the position in which you learn to grow from that negative vibe. You know everything that we go through is a lesson, and we learn from it. But I don't have to stay in it to learn from it. I have to move on. So you have to recognize when things have to come to an end, when there must be a benediction. But everything that you go through, you learn from it. And it becomes a stepping stone, you know, for you to grow and to become better. And so you progress from it, you know, instead of backtracking. So you begin to move forward. And you say, oh, wow, that was a good learning lesson from it, you know. And so now I'm better because of what I went through in that past situation.
Okay, the only reason I ask that is because I do recognize negative energy is having value, where it can be converted or where it can be placed into a place where...
Definitely,
so
definitely.
I wanted you to elaborate. Here's the last question, because I wasn't keying in on your voices too much, but who was the one that said that at some point, you know, I'll love you at a distance and remove myself from you?
All of us, I believe.
if you all believe that loving somebody at a distance as a result of removing them from your group, could you, without using an example, define it for me? How do you each define love? And I'll go back to listening.
Love is care and compassion, but you don't have to be in one's intimate space for me to love you. You know, I can love you from a distance. I love everybody in the community, but they don't have to be in your intimate space, you know. But it's about care. It's about concern. It's about being truthful. It's about sacrifice, you know. Even if I correct someone or someone corrects me, as long as it's constructive and it's helping me, that's still love. Even if at the moment I don't receive it, you know, I look back and I say, wow, that was love, you know, when my professor was pushing me, when my mother was saying this and that to me, that was love. So it's unconditional. And sometimes we just look at the one who gives love, but the one who receives, the recipient, must understand the language of love as well.
Anyone else? What about you, Jayla? How do you define it?
I think love for me has always looked just like selflessness. And just putting someone before myself and recognizing what their needs may be, but also recognizing when I need to step back from that, when that's not being reciprocated or when I'm not receiving that same energy from that person. So I've just seen in my life the examples of love has always just been a lack of selfishness. So I've grown to watch love be doing this for someone or helping them where they may need it or just meeting them halfway.
Maxine?
You know, as I keep thinking about love, I'm thinking about first being able to love ourselves, you know, that nurturing. I think sometimes as women, we are doers and we always want to be doing stuff to show love. But it's really about making sure that we take care of ourselves first so that we can also just really be in a place of giving, supporting, being generous, but also being in tune to what's going on around us. And like you said, it's all about care and support and just knowing when to intervene and to show love. Sometimes we need to just sit back and watch. We don't always have to be doing something. Mm-hmm.
One thing, Maxine, that you mentioned in the break that I was listening to that I'm going to now put it as a question.
Okay.
To people such as yourselves, Maxine, Wandalyn, and Alicia, who are in leadership roles, who have to appoint leaders or even help build leaders. The question is, how do you define them? How do you point them out? And what do you do to help nourish them?
Wow, that's a very good question. So one of the things that I do is I definitely watch, you know, a person's their ability to operate in their own level of excellence. So if you are, let's say, for example, I had HR professionals on my team and they are going the extra mile over delivering and executing well in what they're supposed to be doing and being a teammate and not only just focusing on making sure that they're accomplishing their goals, but also over delivering and servicing their customers, their peers, me as their leader, you know, managing up. And that means that they are a well-rounded individual and they understand that their skills are not just for themselves, but it's also for others. And it's also to help the business. And when I see that they are more focused on serving and supporting others around them and being a leader to impact the bottom line, then I feel like they understand. And then they're ready to take on a little bit more responsibility. And it's also a level of humility. And willingness to learn from others and not feeling like they know everything, but just being humbled and understanding that learning is a continuum and that they can learn and lead and share and receive feedback well. So those are the things that I look for.
Alicia.
I have to see the action first, you know, before a title comes. So if I see that you're already doing the work, you're already working in the community, you're already giving before I have identified you as a leader, then I know that you're moldable to be operating in a leadership role that's, you know, within the church. I look at my team for the Atlanta Women's Empowerment Ministry. They are some phenomenal women, but they were leaders before they came. I just gave them the title. They were already working and doing their own thing. They just needed me to push push them a little bit more. And so I told you that I am the passion pusher, right? And so that's a lot of times what happens. I help cultivate leaders, you know, that's finding out strength that the ministry is not called Global Leadership Christian Center. And a lot of times I look for people that are already serving in that capacity. And as Maxine says, that are humble and always willing to learn and that are teachable. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderland.
You know, I look at leaders as, you know, I believe that everybody is a leader, but there are different tiers of leadership. And when it comes to church, you know, the bottom line for us is those who are willing to help build the kingdom of God. And that involves people. And so you have to put the right people over people. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But it was about the people that God cared for. And so you want to make sure that you have people who have a humble spirit, who love people, and who are willing to lead people. So that means that you're going to be a little bit more challenged. More is going to be asked upon you.
Yes.
To do. And so you have to be willing to do that. And then also you have to be willing to have the continued training, you know, because the training is very important, because leading the church is slightly different. It's a different approach as it is in other industries. And so you want to make sure that they're having that ongoing leadership and that they're team players, you know, because sometimes in churches you can get caught up in titles and positions. And so many are very hungry for those things, but it's about being effective in where you're placed, you know. And if you're an effective leader, you can serve in any capacity with or without a title, you know. And so sometimes, like Pastor E said, you know, if we see a person serving and doing and they take initiative and they're, you know, they're faithful and they're diligent, that person has the capacity to be a strong leader.
But what if they don't want to hold a leadership position, but you see them as leaders? How do you convince?
Oh, I got that right now.
All right. Hold on. Hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be back. It's Women's Empowerment Talk on Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Like us on Facebook at Love and Relationships Show. Leave us your questions and comments. It's Love and Relationships with Joyce Littell on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Now back to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Just sit and listen to that song, but I gotta talk.
Who is that?
Alicia Keys. Yes. I love Alicia Keys and her singing. And, I mean, just all of it. But we've been talking to a panel of just beautiful women who are empowered and are empowering. And we thank Pastor E, Pastor Alicia Cash, for pulling these women together.
Yes.
And one of the things when we were going into the break, we talked about how you recognize and push leadership. But when leadership pushes back, when they push back from what you think they should be doing and how you think they should, that this position would work, what do you do when you get the pushback?
Well, I'm creative in a couple of ways because I have received pushback, you know, when I see a leader and I say, oh, I think that they could operate in this capacity and be really good. And if they're not ready yet, oh, my gosh, don't push the grain. If they're not ready yet, then it only hurts the process and then it kind of changes your perspective about the individual. But I have developed in training classes before to kind of help them. I'm even doing a Discover Your Spiritual Gift class right now for some of those same people who I've tried to put in certain, you know, capacities to operate because I see them doing something really well and they don't quite see themselves in that role. One, because they're not ready for the accountability. Two, they're not ready for the job. three, they're not ready for the sacrifice that comes along with it. So it, and maybe also it doesn't fit in their lifestyle. So we have to be, as leaders, sensitive to know that, okay, the timing is not quite yet. But I always put them on hold. So I have a holding spot for them. So it's like, okay, I got my eye on you. It may not be this year, but it may be next year. Then I may sign them up for small tasks or small, you know, projects to so they can kind of see their development and see how they can operate in that capacity. And then the next year, we may see something different. So it's a process.
What about you, Wanda?
Yeah, it definitely is a process, and I agree with you. You know, I do believe that people can lead from any seat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just up to the head leader to mobilize people in the right place. So sometimes they may not have the time. They may not be willing to put in the energies that it would take. So sometimes I may put them in an advisory capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I just may glean from them, you know, or have them to do things that don't require them to be in a place, but they may be able to write the framework for it, you know, write part of the vision for it or the outline for it. So knowing people's skills and knowing how to mobilize them and put them in the best place so that they're able to yet walk in some leadership capacity without a title, without a position.
And you, Maxine?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just saying earlier that you definitely have to look at individuals for the seat that they're in, because everyone can be a leader,
yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that they need to go to that next level, you know, because they can lead right in their core job or their core position or wherever they are. And just because someone is good at their current role doesn't mean that they're going to be good as a leader. So I think that we have to balance that and be mindful that timing is important, and also testing that skill, you know, giving them temporary opportunities to see mm-hmm. how they're going to do, or giving them pilot opportunities to see how they're going to operate. But we caution a lot of leaders often to not automatically place someone in a leadership position because you think they're good at what they do, because they're a leader in their space. But then I think also, in order to get those individuals ready for the next level, we got to encourage them. We have to show that we support them. We have to give them permission to fail, to make a mistake. You got to make sure that you give them opportunities to show you small accomplishments so that they can feel good and they know that they're ready.
Yes.
And you also got to be mindful of timing and positioning and where they are in their life, and can they make the commitment mm-hmm. to give that level of time that's needed?
Because, well, you brought me to this question for all of the ladies. What are some ways to empower a person personally, professionally, emotionally, and spiritually? What are some ways that you've learned as a young lady, Jayla Moody?
So some ways that I like to try to empower some of the people around me is to try to make sure that I'm sharing my story, but to be transparent about it. I think a lot of the times we get caught up in seeing a person's now and not necessarily recognizing the journey that they were on, or not necessarily recognizing how they got there, the people that invested in them to get there, the resources that they were given, the resources that they seeked out themselves. So just to make sure that I'm 100% transparent about the things that I've experienced and the people that have helped me, and my faith as well, to recognize that, you know, I didn't do it alone, or I didn't get anywhere by myself without any assistance.
Maxine?
The way that I encourage a lot of the women in my network is really trying to understand who they are. Number one, who are you and how can I support you? It's important for me to identify that from them versus me, you know, projecting what I think, right? I really want to understand the person, what their needs are, and then I can provide, you know, lots of resources and support to them. That's number one. And then once I can see and understand who they are, I can offer a lot of support and services, also making sure that they know my journey and what my experiences have been, the good, the bad, the ugly, the whole nine yards, and share my testimonies and let them know that they can do it, and I'm going to walk with you, hold you accountable, and make sure that we can succeed together. I think that if they know that I'm going to hold their hand and help them get there, or just follow up with them and hold them accountable, then they're willing to step out there and do it.
Wanderlyn.
Yeah, I think what they said is very important, listening to their stories and sharing your stories, because when you listen, you kind of hear where they are and what they're experiencing and what they want to achieve in life and where their insecurities are, their weaknesses and their strengths. And then you share your story. You have to be transparent. You have to tell the good and the bad. You know, last year was a horrible year for me. Personally, it was just a horrible year. And but it was my faith that got me through it. And so sometimes people see the outward, but they don't know what you have experienced, you know, in your life. And so they say, oh, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. You don't even know my story. But let me share my story and let me share with you how I got through it. And I didn't get through it by myself. I got through it with the help of the Lord and with the help of others. And so as you're sharing that story, then it's sharpening them and it's encouraging them along the way. And so they're being built up. And then just discipling them, you know, walking with them, supporting them, you know, letting them know, hey, I'm here. You know, what resources do you need? And pushing them, encouraging them not to stop and not to quit.
Pastor E?
As women, it's always important that when we look at how we're making an impact, that we look at who are we mentoring? You know, who are we mentoring and who are we sponsoring? Because, you know, we sometimes think they're the same, but they're two different things. And so now that we're in a circle and that we all have a seat at the table, it's important for us to make sure that we're building women up by mentoring them, by sponsoring them, by coaching them. And so I always make sure that I have one of each in my circle at that time to make sure I've just gotten to a place that I've been more transparent. I've always been a little guarded. I'll tell people just a little bit about me, but not too much. Mm-hmm. But then when I started to be more transparent and not feel like, you know,
They're gonna talk about me.
I can be more open. I started to see that my story really liberated some people, and it made them feel comfortable that they could, too can achieve greatness because I was transparent about what I have gone through.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, if you want folks to follow you and want to learn more about you, how can they reach out?
You can follow me on Instagram at JaySmoody.
And you can follow me at stemAtlantaWomen.org, stemAtlantaWomen.org, and we're on all the social media channels. But we're also interested in knowing who the friendly freelancers are out there. So if you are a freelancer and you're looking for a human capital platform to find work or to be found, please check us out at inclusionwithaz.co, inclusionwithaz.co.
And to find Wanderlyn Stokes, you can follow me on IG. That's at Wanderlyn Stokes. That's JUANDOLYNSTOKES. I'm on IG and Twitter, all the social media outlets. And of course, you can visit my website, WanderlynStokes.com.
And this is Elisha Cash with the Atlanta Women's Empowerment Ministry. And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Atlanta Women Empowerment Ministry and also AtlantaWeMinistry.com.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. See you on Saturday. Thank you.
Congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
I'm going to put on another red dress.
I got a squeeze in one, so.
But we're all going to look fabulous.
Spanx to the 13th power.
Thanks to Spanx.
We got to go. Thanks for listening to Love and Relationships on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.